Hello, everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. I'm glad you're here. If it's your first time, or if it's your 400th time, we are glad that every single week you keep returning to listen to us talk about what's going on in the world and what we'd like to see change in the world. It's an open discussion. Goes against the mainstream, the norm, from what you normally hear. We're on community radio in Columbus, Ohio, WCRS. Airs every single Sunday night at 10 p.m. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. We've been doing it now for 6 years, spreading dissent and anarchy and distrust of the United States government so that we can all join together on a flat earth and share in the bounty of humanity's labor as a globally organized workers' party. So that's the project. It's a bit high-minded. It's a big idea, but it's starting with this little radio program out of Columbus, Ohio, and we are just trying to usher in those changes, y'all. That's the only agenda that we have, is making the place a lot, making this world a lot cooler and a lot more laid back. So please join us as we do that. We will be performing live in Columbus, Ohio at the Tree Bar on 420. That's right, 420, April 20th. We're going to do a drug show, a full hour on it, and we're even going to have special guest Matt Chrisman Cushbaum from the Chapo Trap House podcast. It's going to be a stellar show.
I mean, you almost called him Matt Cushbaum.
I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, I think he should just go by Cushbaum. I really wish he would just make the full switch. Because yeah. When he first told me, I always thought it wasn't a weed thing. It was related to his last name. There's a story involved. And I was just really hoping it was as simple as a weed bomb.
Yeah. Well, you just want a weed bomb to go
off. I would
off,
like a weed really. Bomb. I want a Cushbaum. I want Cushbaum to be a real thing. Like, I want there to be like some sort of marijuana-infused Alka-Seltzer thing that you could throw in a drink and guzzle down. I don't know.
That's what they should call it when the police burn weed and it gets everybody high. You know how that happens every once in a while.
No, man, we're about to do a Kush bomb. So then you take like a whole pile of marijuana that's like wrapped in bundles to look like a basic Acme, like Looney Tunes style bomb, and you just throw it in the middle of a fire and everybody stands around it. That's Denver. A Kush bomb.
When we do a show in Denver, we'd like somebody to put on a bonfire with weed.
Yes. Use that as the kindling. Yeah. Use weed.
That's a request of you, Baltimore. We're going to need you to... Baltimore. We done been in that area, the DMV, recently. We'd still go back. You know, if you want
to. No, I
want
to go. We're going to Baltimore. There. Yeah, we had people ask. We'll be there. It's a great city, too.
I got some info. I got some behind-the-screens info in my direct messages today.
What screens? The silver screen?
I don't know. I don't know why I said screens. The scenes. Behind the scenes.
Okay.
Info no. about a Uline. The new...
Oh, Miss Uline's back at it.
I want to organize Uline. Like, I want that to be a goal for Street Fight in the future. Like, let's get a union. Let's get a bunch of IWW members hired at Uline.
You think it's time to start maybe spread a whisper campaign outside, out front, and get people talking about it?
They would at least, like, yes. They would close that company before they had a union happen.
That's true. I could see that. She's a tyrant. She's a supervillain.
It's like I told you, like we always say about the Coca-Cola. It's like the fucking revolution's going to happen, you know? Yep. And then we're going to be like, hey, you need to give us that recipe, Coca-Cola, and they'll burn it. And the last guy will shoot himself in the head so he doesn't have to give it away for free.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to march on Georgia right there, and they're going to destroy it because they don't want everybody to be able to share, because they want to protect their copyrights, their intellectual properties and stuff. They can't just let everybody know how to make it.
Communism. You will not be allowed the means of you can take the means of production. We ain't giving you that recipe though. Yeah. You're not getting it.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do with them. Figure it out. Yeah. That's why you need guys like us.
I don't need Coke though. I don't even drink it. Dr. Pepper though is gonna be a tough essential one for me.
Yeah.
So wife emailer sent me some stuff about Uline that his roommate works there.
Oh, wow. Order. Inside information.
And so the first thing that was mentioned was he says he gets angry calls every day now about Liz's political stuff in their catalogs.
Like from customers? And
Yeah. So now motherfuckers are going in there to answer the phone. Somebody wants to order boxes from them. They're supposed to be filling out order for boxes, and they have to hear these like political rants about somebody that'll never... Like, they can't get that to her, you
some
know?
Some guy is listening to NPR at his fucking desk, and he gets the catalog, and he's looking through it, and he's like, this is borderline hate speech.
Yeah. I'm going to get on the phone and explain. May I speak to your manager, who also is not getting anywhere near Miss Uline?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, everybody just is making do around this lady. I don't know. You're not going to get to anybody unless you talk to her.
I mean, listen, everybody that works there would rather she didn't put that in the catalog.
Yeah, they want their job to be a lot easier than what it is as well. But yeah, I mean, I can understand. I mean, that's like when you get put in those situations when you have to talk to the retention people. When it's like, I don't want to talk to you, retention person. They're like, well, I mean, you can't cancel until you talk to me. And it's like, I don't want to. And they just, this is the process. You have to, you know. So you get forced into these relationships.
That's,
you know?
Excellent, though. That is like a thing that a company does that's actually smart. They're like, oh, you want to cancel? Why not have a first, we're going to have a counseling session.
Let's have a sit
before
down.
We get you out of here.
Yeah. That's fine. I want to make sure you don't walk away feeling like this was a sour situation for you. How can we make it okay, better for you?
I don't want you to do something foolish like cancel your America Online account, okay?
So she thinks that Miss Uline thinks that her employees are soldiers that are there to defend her political views by being screamed at and emotionally abused by the folks that just want cheap shipping supplies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what but she doesn't care about the workers. In the thing we read on here, one of the things that sticks out in my mind about the thing we read from the Uline catalog on here was when she said, like, California, these regulations are getting unbelievable. It's like, lunches? What the heck, man?
Yeah, we have people now that expect to get breaks.
Yeah. Is it paid lunches? Which they should buy your lunch. Like I've said before, they should pay for your lunch.
No, I wouldn't trust them to make a good decision.
Well, they should give you a stipend every day to go get your Subway sandwich. Okay?
I don't need that much nannying. I don't need someone to hold my hand that much.
Jeez. I do.
Want someone to prescribe you a life that's always happy.
I would like, if I'm working at a job for a corporation, they should get my lunch. And you can give
me a
stipend.
They're going to buy Yogi's Hoagies, man. It's all, they buy the worst food. They get Mr. Hero and shit.
Yeah.
They'll buy a goddamn sub and won't even bring salt and pepper packets.
Just give me the money, man.
They pay you.
Yeah, but more on top of that as just for all my meals. They should pay for all my
food. You want them to do your budget. You can't handle the responsibility of doing your own budget. You need your boss to decide how you get your lunch.
I'll bill them. Don't worry about it. I'll go buy the food with my money, and I'll bring the receipts in, and they'll give me that money back. That's how I eat in my new world. Everything is done that way. Like, you just go to work, and the jobs are much better in the future, okay? But your work just takes care of everything. Everything's taken care of, right?
Okay.
You don't have to worry about getting sick. And then all the money that they pay you in your paycheck, that's to be used for your passions and whatever, you know. Go buy an Xbox One and join that Major League Gaming shit. You know what I mean? But, like, work is going to take care of it all, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They owe it to you for suffering in whatever mine you work in. I always call everything the mines.
I don't know. I'm not as petty about it. Like, just the money is enough. Pay enough that I can have food, but I don't need you to, like, I don't need to have, like, a, I don't, why don't, am I bringing receipts and shit in for?
Your anarchism is more about raising people up, and mine's more about pulling people down. You see what I mean? Like, No. Mine's about making life hard for all the employers. That's what I want to do. The bosses. I don't like them. I want all the bad stuff should happen to the bosses, and the employees should just be like the workers. They're just the workers. They just do their damn job and they go home. You know what I mean? Sure. That's how I see things. That's what I think Uline should be doing for their employees. You know? Number two, except for in the hottest summer months, women have to wear hose with their dresses or skirts and will be sent home to change if they aren't wearing them. That's weird. But yeah, I guess
that's stupid. I mean, that's a lot of they require a lot of weird fashion stuff for women at jobs.
If you're on the phone with work, like if you're just doing it in a call center, you should be allowed to wear roughly anything you. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some people out there that want to wear stuff that you can't.
The scandalous,
like, wear, yeah,
scandalous people that show up to work. That's why I do.
I like those people. Don't get me wrong. I'd like. Yeah. I
butt
like
cheeks
the guts.
Hanging out. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to work, but I'm going to the club right from here.
Yeah. I like the attitude. I like the attitude that, like, I'm not going to change my clothes just so that I can fill out these spreadsheets.
Yeah. So this sounds like back in the 60s, they somehow had the best dress code ever, and so she subscribed to this, and now everybody else does too.
She just thinks that legs...
Why so controlling? I mean, it's so controlling and restrictive.
And conservative, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the kind of freedom that, like, libertarianism and conservatism offers you.
Right.
Like, the boss has the freedom to make you wear fucking pantyhose.
Right,
if they
right.
want you. I mean, that just doesn't seem important as long as you have the outside clothes on. It seems like you don't need pantyhose. Why?
Yeah, we've moved past a lot of that.
Number three,
all
the warehouse guys have to wear long sleeves to cover tattoos. Now, see, I know that some of you out there are like, oh, you know, you can't see tattoos. Everybody in a fucking warehouse has a tattoo.
It's true. Tattoo except in the workplace is going wild about this one. All the folks that are listening that follow that. I mean, I had to do that. I had to wear long sleeves.
At a warehouse?
No. As a cash register, do a cashier. I got a tattoo
that.
On my forearm when I was 16, and they said I couldn't work at the register at a toy store with a tattoo.
Fucking greaser. Greaser gets a job at a toy store. Man, and then the final one, the random drug tests aren't really random. The same people get hit with them regularly. One of his co-workers has had 13 drug tests in 3 years.
This is, yeah, man. So it looks like this is so authoritative. These people are fascists. This is why you're fascist.
Yeah.
You're making people bow down to your authority in the most extreme circumstances, taking away all of their personal choice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fuck, man. What an asshole.
Uline. Your shit.
It pisses me off.
Unionized Uline should be like the new.
Yeah, we need to figure out. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it, but I can't let this woman have an easy, like, no, but the only thing that talks about Uline is Street Fight. Nobody else goes on the radio and is like, you know what, man? I got this Uline catalog.
Yeah.
Like, I want everybody to be talking about it and just being like, what the hell's wrong with you, Uline? And then she has to step down and she's not allowed to run Uline anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably not a lot of innovation happening in boxes anyways. They probably could put it on
Autopilot.
Yeah,
just they'll make the boxes. It's going to all be okay. Like, everything runs well without her. Collectivize Uline. There you go. Let's collectivize Uline. If you're a listener out there and you're unemployed and there's a Uline near you, see if you can get a job and then get your friends jobs and then just fill up Uline with like I said, wobblies, and they'll take care of all the rest.
Yeah, and we got to be able to do the paid protester. We needed George Soros money so that we can pay some people to infiltrate it, man.
At-will employment is the fucking worst, man. Like, where they're just like, fuck you. You're fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to find somebody that will just take a job in order to.
What if people could get Patreons together And like their thing, like for their Patreon, it's like, you pay my Patreon, I'll go get jobs at fucking places and monkey wrench them.
Well, yeah. Well, this is what we, what I always wanted to do was to have a fund where we would pay meter maids or and meter warlocks. What are they called? Meter nobles, meter lords.
Yeah, meter lords. I like that.
Lords and maidens. Yeah. Well, what we would do is they wouldn't do their job and they'd be able to get away with it for maybe a few months and then, you know, they'd get fired.
Patreon.com.
But we slash pay meter people to not write tickets. Yeah. Yes. Pay off the meter lords.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There is. I mean, it's hard. It seems more like a fun art project thing to do, though. Like, I mean, I don't know how you can sustainably. We got to figure out how to use this money against itself.
Yeah. I want to be able to get job. I'd like really want to be able to get a job at like an Arby's and just.
Oh, I know. Tank it.
Get you hot. Yeah. Get a management job at an Arby's because I got a bachelor's degree and then get you a job and then just get all the listeners a job that live in the city.
And just let it go to hell.
And just. Yeah, to see if you can just really let it just give the whole Arby's corporation a bad name. Just go to school and just when detention lets out, be like, if any of you are looking for a job, I'd like to get you. I'd like to bring you to a place.
Yeah,
we'll get you paid for a little while. You can do anything you want in there.
Right. Make up your own shit. Feed your friends.
Yeah. So. I have my phone out for a reason. I wasn't just going through the phone. I wanted to bring
up. That's actually how most fast food places are run, though, really, yeah. Is that a really fucking crazy 23-year-old buys mushrooms and shit for teenagers and you know, liquor.
You're right. You're right. I will agree with that.
But yeah, never with the point of like getting rid of the job, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to really, you know,
well, just being able to hold the damn company hostage, you know what I mean, would be great. It's like, just to be able to, why is this one place losing money? What the hell, you know? And by the time you're out of there, it's just you and your friends dicking around in an Arby's. It can't be that bad.
Yeah.
You can close it at any time anyway. You're the general manager.
They got all the sauce. The horsey sauce is so good.
We steal a whole bunch of that.
Yeah, I remember taking one of those as a kid, actually.
Of course. Horsey, so you stole so horsey good. Sauce.
I used to like to steal. One time we went and ate at a place and stole everything off the table. We stole all of the silverware, all of the displays, like the napkins, just everything. Everything we could, we took it off the table and left.
That's smart.
I don't know why. It was so dumb. Just the thrill of it, really,
yeah.
Of theft.
So we also got a submission from Mystery Druid on Twitter.
Ooh,
with
I like
an underscore in between, Mystery Druid. And somebody slid flat earth literature under their door.
I did see this.
That is awesome. First of all,
printout, 2-page printout.
But it was not Brett and I.
No.
Okay. We didn't do that, but it would have been smart had we been doing that. Maybe we'll distribute some flat earth literature in Columbus. We'll like make a flat earth flyer with all of our podcast information on it and just lay it all over the city and let people get mad about. You know, give them something to get mad about.
Well, I think the real Flat Earth Society would start a blood feud with us if we did that.
Oh, I dare them. I dare them.
They don't like that kind of mischief underneath God's firmament.
Maybe. Let's try it, though. I mean, it's like advertising in the Bible. The Gideons do it.
Yeah. So the picture, they also had a printout of just two basically maps that are off Google Image Search.
Wikipedia page. For firmament. In biblical cosmology, the firmament is the structure above the atmosphere conceived as a vast, solid cone. Okay? The firmament is a vast, solid cone over Earth.
Okay.
I like this. Because if you didn't get underneath Earth... You don't know what it looks like underneath. All we've seen is the firmament, right? Like when we go into space.
I think they would have to go through it. The space stuff is all fake.
Yeah.
Because they never got out of God's firmament.
That's true. There's no door at all up there.
Yeah, it's like a big contact lens on top of a piece of ground, and it kind of keeps the space aliens out, and it kind of just, you know, keeps everything all in there. It's like a terrarium. God's terrarium is basically what we're living in.
Yeah. Let me read you some of the, these are good. I mean, these are incredible. Some of the observable proof that we do not live on a moving globe. Oblate bubble. Spheroid is what they call it. Jesus. A spheroid.
Yeah, let's get rid of the $5 words.
Right? Yeah, this is a fucking flat earth thing. Not all of us are
everybody
geniuses.
Can understand. I'm not an obloid.
not all of us are geniuses, flat earth paper maker.
Slow, you know, cool it for those of us in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, let's make this movement accessible to millennials, okay? Spheroid is not.
No.
That's not going to work. That's not good enough. Maybe get some of the people in the DSA to hip it up. They've been getting people to do their social media.
Well, yeah, we had a very spirited discussion about cryptids on Twitter with a few DSA folks. I think that they're going to take up the charge. I think they're into... You know, universal healthcare is definitely on the top of their list, but I think uncovering local cryptids is quickly moving up to that number 2 and 3 spot.
I would just be so happy if we
they found the Jersey Devil. If Larry Website found the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad either. A Sasquatch. We're going to go hunting again this year, right? At least.
Yeah. I mean, Mothman seems to be the hottest spot. I mean, that picture I saw of the Mothman recently was pretty shocking.
Yeah. You think we could go find the Mothman?
I mean, we'll probably scare him up.
Where's he in?
We got to be relentless.
Where's he at?
Like in West Virginia.
Oh,
like
we right could on the other that. Side. Yeah. That's like right on. Yeah, we'll go look for the Mothman sometime this year. I promise.
I also had a question, though, that I was stumped by, and I wanted to ask you. This Is Hell Radio, shout out to friends, This Is Hell Radio, asked us, what is the term that flat earthers use for someone that would be considered a globalist?
They just say a globalist.
I mean, heliocentric, but it's like Illuminati. I've never really, you know, I don't think they don't have, I don't think that translates.
I was going to say Jew, but that's offensive.
Oh, yes. But there is a lot of, we should mention people. Some of the ugly sides of flat earthery can lead to anti-Semitism. Yeah.
There's
you have to
quite
watch
a bit
out for
of
that.
A
lot of InfoWars people.
So all the here's one of the observable proofs, Brett. All the pictures of the globe Earth are fake computer-generated images. Google image search Earth. Okay, so that's one.
Got it. And a flat Earth comes up?
Yeah.
Okay.
If the Earth, I'm going to, you know what? I can do
test
that
it.
Right
this
now.
This is science we can do at your house. This is science you can do along with, this is biblical cosmology that you can do from home. Everybody, just take a moment, pick up that dang phone and do something to learn something.
Yeah. So Google Earth and you do an image search. I mean, it's just a bunch of pictures of Earth. There really isn't. Like, it's all,
yeah, but
they're
like,
explaining that, like, I mean, but there are pictures from outside, right?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good, they're just like doing, I don't know what they're really just testing you, like, no, there isn't.
And
you're
like, I know, now I'm nervous to make a joke. I see one. It's not the whole Earth. They can't, I mean, that seems like a tall order
they're
to get a picture.
For a picture of the whole Earth, you yeah. get it in one picture.
Yeah.
From space, the space picture?
From space, yeah. They want to see the goddamn whole thing. Did there you go. For all you listeners saying,
they
what can we
picture.
Do?
They took that picture. I saw that picture.
They did?
Yeah, they take pictures from space of Earth, right?
Yeah, but not the whole fucking thing.
It's still flat. I mean, it's yeah. still a circle, but it's like if it was a magnet on a wall, you know.
Right. I mean, there are pictures of Earth from the space station.
But it just looks like a circle. It looks like a coin.
Not even a coin. It looks like just a little corner of it. You know, they don't even, the ones I'm seeing, they don't even show the whole thing.
You can't find a picture of Earth.
Well, no, I'm saying I found pictures. I can't find a picture of Earth that's not like out of a window, which is, of course, but also like only a piece of it. You know what I mean? But I'm sure there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for all of this. Here's another one. If the Earth was actually orbiting around the sun, we would be traveling a distance of 584 million miles per year. I don't know like what is a guy? I don't know the problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the math is, then that's how fast it is. I mean, whenever I read that stuff, they're like, yeah, you're flying at a million miles an hour. I'm like, dang, wow. Even feel it. My hair ain't even rustling.
I mean, getting outside of the kayfabe of this show, right? The Earth, I mean, they just tell me things about the Earth and I do believe them. I don't have any reason to disbelieve them,
right?
I guess, but now I'm back in.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I mean gravity makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And
well, Will Menaker was real fired up about flat earthers when we were in Pittsburgh, and he said the way somebody described gravity to him was they spun a bucket around, and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. All right, and the Earth is spinning, all this stuff. Okay. That does make sense. And like, that's, like I said, I have questions about the flat earth movement, about flat earth. Okay. That's all I'm saying. And I also think that flat earthers can be socialists and anarchists. I'm surprised more anarchists aren't flat earthers. Really?
Well, no, that's how we got into it. I mean, that's how only way I found it was by looking for people that are like, I don't know, I don't trust anything. It's like, I mean, I feel you on that, man. I try to bury that feeling. I try to bury that feeling that at the end of the day, I will never know. You know, like your ignorance is really hard to face sometimes, or yeah, really, really swallow.
You know, and that's exactly right. Not knowing any of this stuff, like not knowing any of the math stuff, you're just like, I don't know. I'm trying to see the rest of these. It's so hard to read it on the damn phone. I should have put it on the computer. If the Earth was spinning at 1,000 miles per hour, a helicopter couldn't hover for an hour and land in the same place.
What do you mean you can't see the Earth? This looks like the Earth to me.
That's a computer-generated picture of the Earth. I'm talking about somebody took like a Kodak camera up there.
Oh, got you. Where's the iPhone picture of Earth? Yes. Let me see your geocache information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I feel you. Because when I was over here like so perplexed. I was like, have I never seen I've seen a picture of a round ass Earth before, like from a telescope and shit.
Yeah.
But that's all CGI. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this creates more dissent, I think that it is a good way to step in. I think we got to worry not to shut that door, because it's like, yeah, man, we can't trust them at all, man. American dream's over. We're in it together. Only thing we got is each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can deal with them. I can deal with them on the disagreement, right? For me, it's like if we're putting together a new world and a guy tells me he thinks it's going to be a flat world, that's not going to discourage me from working with him.
Well, as long as his flat world doesn't mean like piling chemicals into the oceans and shit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want that. The next thing we got here is from Read Write Nap.
Oh, great account.
On Twitter. Yes. Follow him. He's a sweetie. He sent us a thing about the Amazon cashierless store, which they're opening one here, Brett.
We're their test kitchen. Oh, really?
Yeah. On Ohio State campus, they're building one. Back in December, Amazon announced it would be opening a brick-and-mortar operation in Seattle that would run without cashiers. Shoppers, thanks to a not fully explained combination of computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion. That's how they're going to do this. For any listeners that wanted to know the science behind this, it would be computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they do it. We'll be able to walk in, grab what they wanted off the shelves, and walk out without ever touching their wallets or waiting in line. I mean, it's a nightmare that I think this is good. Would be nice and convenient, not good. People should be running the store, I guess. But according to a report today from the Wall Street Journal, the store's opening has been delayed due to technical issues.
Yeah, I think this is hilarious because they are trying to erase people
out of job.
Put people out of work.
Yeah.
And this is why I've also gone self-checkout strike, too, is that I stopped using them because I'm like, first of all, they're not easier because I always have to call the lady over. And I don't know if I can do it.
But she can run four.
Yeah, I guess.
Instead.
That's true. It's doing four registers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
six, actually, a lot of times. It's six registers that they're usually running. So they got like...
Yeah.
Man, that makes me feel like I need to start going through the lines, but you can't steal as much through the lines.
No, you can't. If you have to steal, go through the checkouts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I'm going to the store, like, I want to talk to the bagger, talking about how shitty the weather is. Like, I like to chat them up, and it's way better that way.
Yeah, it says
Aldi. You don't get baggers, but you always talk to the person, and they have like really great cashiers. Like,
yeah,
everybody
they do.
There is chatty.
They get
as hell.
Paid well.
Yeah.
There. They just throw they. I love how they like can treat your stuff like it's just trash.
Oh, I know.
And throw it in the cart.
They look like a child just taking their whole arm and just like swooping everything into a fucking cart.
I love the they don't care about your food at all. They're not. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure you get through that line. They even put them in a chair to be like, this person is not going to help you anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I always find it so weird that they sit in a chair, but that's also kind of a humane way to do things.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty comfortable. I mean, it fucks up your legs to be standing on like hard ass linoleum all day.
I know, but it's not something a teenager can't do. Or
why are you? Why wouldn't you be pro chair?
I guess I am. But, well, you should have a choice. I guess it seems like they're strapped to that chair. Like it's like in such a small little space with the chair. I wouldn't sit down if I was a cashier. I don't have that in me. I got to stand up. I got to give people my full cashier pitch, the full good customer service fix, you know?
Yeah.
But I can see why somebody would want to sit in a chair. That's true.
Yeah. So one more thing, because you brought it up. I don't know if it is awesome. Do you think, I mean, it's cool. It's like the tech is cool. It's like, I imagine some fucking, you know, block rock and beats playing and you walk in and do some graffiti outside and then go grab a cold cut sandwich and leave. And then like your Amazon charges and shit on the way out. And it's like super hip, but like, I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, something about it is, it's not as exciting, you know.
Yeah,
I guess because it isn't like, because it is just getting rid of people's jobs. It's like, what are we going to do? How are people supposed to, if you know, they have coffee, they have robots now, they have tea bots that make tea for you and shit, and they have coffee people that do espressos. They have so much automated shit now. It's like, well, we're going to have to tear these fucking robots apart in order to be able to compete in this job marketplace. We're just going to have to make it too expensive to do this kind of stuff until you just hire people.
So just break the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Just go in and break the shit out. Just fucking make it so they have to put the cashiers back in because everybody's stealing too much.
Yeah.
They're losing money.
I mean, I don't know. Everybody seems okay with not doing manufacturing here anymore, which I think is bonkers. I think that we should be focusing on taking care of our things and doing it in the most efficient way possible, creating them here. And if we're not going to go down those roads, I mean, how the fuck
service
are people
work.
Supposed to get money besides service work?
And we're fighting for $15 an hour, and this is the response by
right.
all the major corporations too. It's like, oh yeah, you want to fucking, like, even if it's not like a conscious thing, you know. But Amazon just wants a store where there's no employees. And so apparently the cashierless system doesn't work super well if there are more than 20 people at a time shopping.
Nice.
Which is, that's good. We just fill that, like,
yeah.
Just get 19 of your friends and fill it up.
Flash mob.
Just stand in there.
Flash mob at the Amazon grand opening. Clean that motherfucker out.
That is funny, man. Well, they'll probably solve it.
No, they'll definitely, they'll be like, we have the RFIDs from all of your SIM cards attached to your Amazon accounts. We charge you for everything you stole, and we're not going to let you return it.
I don't know that, like, I mean, 20 people in any place is going to, in any store, like convenience store, is going to bring something to its knees, I guess. Like, even when it's just one employee working there, they usually when 20 people would be a lot.
But yeah, I mean, there's, I think I'm now thinking of times though I've been in places in DC where like they are just constantly rushes of people in and out.
Yeah.
And in like 7-Elevens and like Whole Foods, like little tiny market spots where you can pick up a few things, their little green grocer shit.
But they Walmart. Don't have to wait in line there. That's why it's weird that it can't handle more than 20 people.
I know, that is weird.
They just grab stuff. And it also has problems when items are moved from their designated shelf spots or if the people in the store move too quickly.
Yeah, this sounds... I mean,
I move shit around. As I know this is terrible, right? But like, I will pick something in these big box stores. I'll pick something up and then decide I don't want it and just put it down where I'm at.
Oh my God. You don't, I yell at my wife every single time she does it. She's the worst. She'll just stuff shit in the aisle and I'm like, go put it back. I was like, you need to anyways, we got time. You're not really, you know, you're going to go home and watch fucking This Is Us for 6 hours. So you go put the fucking PJs back where you got them so somebody else doesn't have to.
Man, you are nice. I mean, you really
fierce
live,
grace.
You live the, you live the pro worker thing. Like you, but I mean like.
I just, it's so.
You don't want to make somebody it. Have to put. But,
I did facing for so many jobs and. The people that would just like sling shit in just into the fucking aisles. I mean, I don't know how. It was like bowling for action figures and like puzzles and games. And people just are so like, it is why that people, you know, the public is just so fucking awful, you know, with those, in those places.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. They're just lawless.
Yes. You're right. You're right. Cause I've done it. I try to leave it by the cash registers.
Yeah.
So that
I mean, they do
there.
Have people putting it away. Yeah. They just better to do that, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to like that was my favorite job at the grocery store I worked at was putting they called them orphans, which is.
Yeah, fun.
But put the orphans away and then they just hand you a cart full of stuff and you walk around the store putting it back. That is a fucking primo job.
I did that at Meijer too. I did it at Meijer. It was great.
You could fuck around for the rest. You could that
you got
can
to
take
see
8 hours.
You got to see everybody too.
You do. You get to go around the whole store. You stop and talk to every single person.
Yeah.
It takes 4 fucking hours.
Yeah.
God, I love putting stuff away.
Yeah, it is. Like
it is. It gets somebody away from their boss for a few hours. And that is anytime I work in retail, it's like getting away from the boss and the customers is just amazing. But even then, like I don't mind the customers that much as long as they're not yelling. I like pretty much everybody I meet that doesn't yell at me.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the problem is that as customers, they do feel like they can cross a line with employees. Like they have no problem being complete assholes. I think that's the issue with customers.
Yeah.
Is that they are going to fucking go there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the mean ones are bad, though. Most of them aren't. Most people don't bother me. No, but no. I would love to do that Amazon thing. I would love to just get 19 people together to sit in that Amazon
all the time.
So they can't do any business.
Right.
Or have to send somebody to fix it.
Just hang out in there. There's no employee to roust you. You can just go lean on shit.
I know.
Hit your butt cheek on a countertop and sit.
Yeah. Just fucking... Yeah, that was like make it just the shittiest place to be, man.
Yeah,
just
I do like it.
Go in there and smell bad and shit.
Yeah, that's one of Brian's original organizing tactics is just be trash at places that we don't like. Like the places where they're gentrifying or building, you know, tearing down senior centers and putting hotels up there. It's like, well, we can at least smoke and throw Mountain Dew bottles all over the front yard.
Nobody can make me take a shower. You know what I mean?
Right. and keep me from hanging out in front of there, talking to myself loud as hell.
Yeah. And clothes that I rolled in dirt before I went there.
It's a possibility.
Just smoking pinner joints. You can't make me move from here. This is public space. That's true, man. It seems like that the goal of a lot of these like employee-less things is to kind of keep poor people away from people. Like, they can't get a job, and they just are like service workers, unskilled workers, is to keep them away.
I mean, from customers.
You know what I mean? Like, to separate us from having to deal with people. Having to deal with anybody, really.
I don't know. I think it's that they don't. That seems too pointed. I think it's just a matter of technology, and they, you know, it's cheap and something that they can do that, you know, they don't have to deal with a lot of other, you know, regulations for, you know, they don't have dealing with like employees means you have to deal with a lot of bullshit, you know, with right. like, so, and people are like, literally they're, like innovating people out of fucking jobs. Like, well, they live in, it's insane.
This isn't for smaller businesses, though. This right, is just true. For major corporations.
Right. But, like, but the problem is that when Amazon makes it easy and then all of a sudden 7-Eleven has to do it to compete, and then all of a sudden Wawa, you know, Wawa already has like a hidden person that just slides a hot dog out from like behind a gate.
I
whatever
like
the
that.
Fuck they
I would
hide
do
those
that.
People behind there.
I would do that. They used to, yeah, like those places where people, they were called an automat.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
would just be a room full of vending machines.
Yes, exactly.
How did we get to the point where we can't even stand like the person working at the counter at McDonald's? Like where we can't even be around that person and see that we want that yeah. person removed.
I worry that sometimes this may be a curmudgeonly thing, but I am kind of a way about like, I'm really bothered by dealing with these cards now because my wife just got the chip card and I fucking hate the chip and it's nothing convenient about it. And it makes me think about going back to cash
yeah.
because I fucking hate standing next to somebody while I'm dicking around on a fucking screen. You know, and trying to follow these instructions and playing a fucking video game on this thing while somebody's there just like watching me do it. And it just feels so impersonal.
Yeah.
You know, I just doesn't foster any sort of conversation, I feel like, you know.
Yeah. Paying with the credit. I don't even have the chip, so I don't know what it's like.
It's
but
awful.
I hear people talking about it all the time, like where they're
I
want to
go back to cash, man.
Let's do it. We can do that. Libertaxi is an open source project that lets anyone become a rideshare driver in less than a minute. It has more than 20,000 users worldwide and is maintained by Roman Pushkin, who started the project in December 2016 and is now planning to quit and work on it full time.
Okay, what's the idea here?
It says Libertaxi is different and its target is different audiences. For example, in many Latino communities across the U.S., there are people who are not eligible to work in the U.S., so they can't drive for Uber. Also in those communities, many people have outdated vehicles, which are more than 10 years old, so Uber won't accept you as a driver. There's no such problem with Libertaxi. It will be much easier to use Libre Taxi inside that community and give rides to people you already know. So it's just like Libre Taxi is the same concept as Uber, but in reality it's completely different. It's telling who they're targeting. It's a cash.
It's a way
service.
To basically pay money to give rides to people.
Yeah, it's a collect. It's like Uber or Lyft, but with cash.
Oh,
and I think it
shit.
Cuts them out, man. I can't. Oh, God, this fucking thing.
A lot of reading.
Yeah. The very first thing is that we're playing
an elevator pitch, fellas. My floor is coming up.
The first thing they're going to do is create a nonprofit organization because he wants people to know that the service is absolutely free and will stay that way. So the guys that are driving, it's basically an app that sets it up so people can drive like for Uber or Lyft, but with
they can give rides, get paid in cash.
Yeah, get paid in cash because a lot of people have to deal in cash. A lot of people, you know, as bad as it is to say, a lot of people have burned a lot of banks, man.
Oh yeah.
And like can't get a account.
Oh, I mean, I am that way. I mean, I just do everything. I just have all of my wife's info. So yeah, and I know I've talked to people after our shows that are like, yeah, no bank account at all.
Yeah, I mean, and like I don't know that I've ever gone without a bank account, but I've had people in my life that I've had to cash checks for them and stuff like that. And it's like, man,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's a barrier.
And they're trying to make it safer and more friendly. And but their financial model will be based on donations. We're not looking to make a lot of money. We're going to be a middleman between passengers and drivers, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's the thing about the Uber and Lyft, though, is like it's a job. I mean, people are doing it because they really need fucking money. Like,
I know.
There's like, there's just,
well, because they got rid of all the cashier jobs.
Right. Right. Well, because yeah, the cashier jobs now are only 24 hours a week, you know, like that's what it is that, you know, when that Obamacare shit came through and people that were part-time workers that didn't have to be mandatorily covered, like everybody got thrown down to that, like, less than 25 hours a week level. So Lyft and Uber came through at a perfect time for that, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, taxis do have like a bad reputation. People in cities, it's people in cities who romanticize taxi drivers. Everywhere else, like especially like Columbus is a place where like you never people don't really use taxis.
No,
very
you
much.
Don't hail. You don't hail cabs here.
No.
You can, I mean, cars are cheap.
And
parking's cheap.
And every time you take one, the people that they're driving you are mean. Which, why, like, that is, like, a good way to do, like, New York. Like, if you're in New York and you're like, hey, I like it when everybody's mean to me.
Right, you're a typical New Yorker.
Yeah, you just, hey, it's a New Yorker, man. You know, the cab drivers are going to be mean. It's like, I don't like mean. I don't want to be around a mean guy, man. I don't want to sit in a mean guy's car.
Well, they got fucked because technology beat them. I mean, it was really hard to deal with them before, and I felt like I got fleeced several times on some cabs in going to big cities.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they took me in some directions that seemed pretty suspect and, you know, fucked up. One guy fucked up my route. He took me to the extreme wrong place. I asked for this major place in Denver, and he drove me to the other side of town and turned like a $20 ride into a $40 ride and asked for all the money and then did a thing where he shut it off and was like, made a deal, a side deal with me. And I was just like, this is the most dishonest fucking transaction I've ever had. And like for transportation,
you're a tourist.
And I, yeah,
that's an extra tourist fee. Hey, you're a tourist in my city. I'll get you charged a lot more.
Denver.
It's same thing. Same attitude. Nah, not really. Never mind. It's just a big city. Every time I go to a big city, people are just like, we're mean here. I just know what the thing is.
Yeah, I know. I just think it, I this sounds cool though. I do like this idea because I have also, for me, when I am drawing a bath and going to do some thinking with my bubble pipe, I am saying like, you know, I took a Lyft because I thought it was going to be convenient and it fucking blew up my bank account. Like it's expensive as fuck. And like you tip people and shit and adds more money onto it. My thing is like, there's people in desperate need of rides. How could I figure out a volunteer service where folks would just be on the clock to give rides to people that need it? You know what I mean? Because
they'd still have to probably get paid. It's so hard to get people to, like, especially like paid.
Who has extra money? Who has extra money to burn up gas and give up their Sunday afternoon?
Believe me, I know. I have to do it. I mean, I still drive sometimes. There was actually an article this week about like, that was covering how Lyft like did that email about the woman who was about to give birth but didn't want to quit driving. You know what
right.
I mean?
Lyft put out as like this advertising campaign this story of this woman that was driving for Lyft until she was about 2 or 3 weeks away from her due date and literally picked some affair up on the way to the hospital.
Yeah. And they said it like it was this like really great human interest story about like just a really dedicated Lyft driver. Like,
yeah, I mean Mike Rowe would be proud.
Oh my God.
She knew that there was work to be done, you know?
He would be. He would have been just amped about this story. But there's lots of stories, I guess, about that where it's like, but it's because they need the money. Nobody's driving because they enjoy it, man. Nobody.
No, that's been the biggest problem, too, is all these podcast ads are like, hey, man, got a car, make some extra bucks just for cruising around with cool people. It's like, no, nah, I mean, I need extra money. I'm not making enough money. I can't get by. So that's why I'm doing this. And then, you know, you're taking home a portion of it, and it's still not, it's not anything to be proud of. The wage isn't anything good enough to, I mean, at times, I remember when it came out, and that was the big deal with that Uber guy got yelled at. Was that guy was like, I bought this $90,000 car because you were charging people $20 a ride to take a ride in my really expensive car from here down to downtown. And then you've now chipped it away to, like, I'm getting $10 for those rides, you know, and you've taken away, like, every single ounce of profit that was here before. I mean, that's the deterioration of all jobs, too, man, is that, like, they start and they hit these points, and then they just keep backing it off. You know, the raises don't match up every single year. They don't keep rising with the cost of living. And, it's just another shitty job is all it is, you know?
Yeah.
Another $9 an hour job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. You make about $9 an hour, and you'll never get a raise on Lyft or an Uber. They don't give raises. You know, a lot of times, like, Lyft gives bonuses, and a lot of times they'll just be like, we used to not have these bonuses. Remember those? Like, almost.
Yeah, like, that means they're about to go. Yeah. Wait till a downswing.
Well, today Lyft was calling themselves the woke company. Like, the guy that runs the company was like, we're woke, we're like the woke Uber, man. Like, the more Uber messes up, the better for us. Because, and it's right. Like, no, I let me just say that you don't pay well.
yeah this is unsatisfactory.
Like, it's not a joy to work for your company, because they don't pay shit. You'll never get a raise, you'll never get insurance. They're not woke. You don't get to be woke and then, you know, fucking crushing people,
right?
And like this guy was saying, you know that's just people who can't, they're, most people can't afford to have the car to do fucking Lyft. You know, there are a lot of people that wish they could fucking do that.
Well, there's also lots of those deals going on where people are, you know, people are buying cars and then paying people to drive them, you know, all day. Like, you get keep a car. I buy a car, you drive for Lyft 8 hours a day, and or for however many hours a day, and I get a portion of what you make.
Oh my God. That's like no money.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky if you make $50.
You're getting probably paid $5-6 an hour at that point to borrow somebody else's car and drive around.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. There's always some small business tyrant to fucking make just a little bit more.
Pays. You can exploit the shit out of people and make some money.
Yeah. Fuck, man. That is the most depressing thing. I didn't know that was even happening.
Yeah, it's a weird boom. I was talking to friends of mine in DC that were like really trying to get themselves into a car and telling me some of the ways that it was going down, like what people were doing with them there. It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's a job that they don't. I mean, if you don't have anything on your police record, you don't have to do a job interview or anything. It takes 2 minutes. Somebody comes and they look at your fucking car and they take a picture of it. And then they're like, you know, you can drive this thing.
Yeah. You know? Right.
So it's not I don't know. It sucks. It fucking sucks. Yeah. I hate doing it. But
I mean,
the other side of it is that, like, I do like, Street Fight wouldn't be happening if I couldn't drive for Lyft. There's no way we'd be where we are now if I couldn't drive for Lyft.
Yeah, and it is true. I mean, I know that you do genuinely like talking to people because you get to talk about yourself a lot to them.
Yeah, they always ask me about myself. Or, yeah, like, I get to hear about them, which is also a very top thing to hear. I love people telling me their story.
Yeah.
I picked up a guy the other day that left Little Caesars, and he was just like, you know, before you leave, little hint for everybody listening out there, check your pizza before you leave Little Caesars, because he said he's been burnt a few times.
Oh, really? Yeah. What does that mean?
Just a good, like, got a crispy, a burnt, bad pizza or one that's
literally
just,
burnt.
Yeah, like, really, literally. Yeah, and he was like, so I always check it before I leave. And, you know, I thought I was going to be ready for the ride, but I had to make them remake me another pizza. I'm like, dang.
Wow.
Man. Yeah. But you know what I said to him? I always get a dig in. I'm like, you are only paying $5 for that pizza.
I know. Can you believe they would have the nerve? I'm paying them $5 for this pizza.
I always say, when somebody complains about fast food, I always like to throw in what they're paying for it, right, just so they can know. I was like, you know, a lot of stuff gets skimped on there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, training.
It's not magical, you know? Right.
Yeah, the training programs ain't so great.
Well, the food sucks. First of all, in fast food, the food quality sucks. And the service sucks because they don't pay the people to do the service in any way that doesn't suck, you know?
No, it's all set up and everybody's like hanging from a thread and there's no coordination. It's a shit show for the most part at most of those places.
Which I have one more story to do today that I think this is a one that's going to bum you out a little bit, Brett. That's why I'm telling it. Maybe it'll bum out our listeners too. The McDouble is the cheapest and most nutritious food in human history.
I saw that.
So you saw that?
I did see that. The cheapest and most nutritious, right?
Yeah.
So
but
what
it's also
it? From what, the, at what cost?
Yeah. A very low cost. What's it cost?
But what's the real cost? How much rainforest you got to give up for
it's
that?
It's between $1 and $2.
Right.
Is how much. You probably a little bit of rain. I mean, I feel like you're right. You are right. That McDouble is bad. But it is. The article's interesting, or it's that guy. It's one of the Freakonomics guys. So, I mean, healthiest is like,
yeah,
he decided what healthy was.
Well, and then how many undocumented people got injured on the job while slaughtering all that meat, you know? Like, that's one of the worst industries. That's how they get it so cheap is, I mean, the only people that will do a lot of that labor are folks that they are, you know, that we don't pay attention to, you know?
But I think that, like, we've often said that, like, fast food is the right.
Oh, it is.
It's weird.
No, I agree. Here's the thing. No, I will. I know where you're going with this. If you're hanging drywall all day long, and you are going to burn 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 calories in a day, it makes sense to eat just two of those instead of trying to, you know, eat that much deli meat, or I don't even know what the hell you like, egg whites. I don't know. Yogurt, green. I mean, broccoli, you'd have to eat a bucket of broccoli. I don't know how much salad that would be, you know? It does make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I always ate fast food because you're just hungry, man. You've been working your ass off and you got to go. I worked with a guy, ate Taco Bell every single day. And like, he budgeted out and like $11 a day for food and he was able to make it work, you know? Yeah.
And then there's also, I mean, the other thing is when you're only dealing with people that are living day to day and don't going regular grocery shopping, you know, if you get $30 and you can't really just go buy like a fridge full of stuff to buy for the week, like you just have to get what you can today, you know, to go buy hamburger, to go buy buns, to go buy all the condiments and all that shit. It's like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, for folks, yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. It is the most efficient choice for getting by. It's like food pills.
Yeah. So the debate that's going on between this is between the people who are like, McDonald's should get credit for feeding the poor cheaply.
Fuck that.
Is one side. And it's
hell
like,
no.
No, they could be doing better.
Yeah,
though.
No,
if they were looking to do that, then
the standards should be way higher.
Yes.
We shouldn't be doing business in this way. They've done the most unscrupulous business possible.
Yeah,
from the people that create all of the products that go into making their food to their employees to everybody on the planet.
Yeah, they've made everything else like demonstrably worse.
Yeah.
But now you can get a cheeseburger for $2. Right. Yeah. But this Tom Philpott, he's an organic farmer from North Carolina. He says you can get a pound of organic brown rice and a pound of red lentils for about $1.30 each. A serving of each of those things would be around 48 pence is what it is, but who knows what that means. But yeah. In order to present to us all that burger, you're talking about a vast army of working poor people. And that's exactly right. That's why it's cheap. They take it out of the employees.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it comes from cutting costs in every possible way to get it there. In the worst possible ways, you know?
I talked about that. That was something I talked about.
Go ahead.
What?
Oh, well, actually, this ties into something we did over the weekend, too. There was a protest for the CIW, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
I always say Immokalee.
Immokalee, I don't know.
I saw a documentary about them that was very inspiring.
Okay, I don't know. That's fine.
It might have been a key thing that radicalized me.
Oh, really?
There's a famous documentary about them, but I remember seeing it and seeing them organize a union, and I was just like... These are workers standing up for themselves.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to do that.
They were amazing. They did a really good job. But right now they're going on a boycott Wendy's campaign because they have established a workers program in Florida for tomato growers that allows them to be in charge of their own safety standards so that they're not forced to be like under company, you know, whatever the company wants out of them. They get to do what's safe. They have training on the job, specific training, and they are paid like a bonus off the top. Like they get, there's a payout of just cash money that gets added to all of their checks.
Yeah. Could I say that like the thing about that thing, that protest we went to, the human rights parade it was on March 28th. There were people holding up signs that were saying that like some of the rights they're fighting for is one of them is shade. They're like fighting for like a human is denying another human shade.
Right.
So that for what reason? What reason do you do this to people who are picking all the tomatoes to make McDoubles, the cheapest, most nutritious food in the history of the world?
Yes, the paramount of achievement. All this ketchup was grown because we denied shade, and now we can get it to $1. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have trouble because I am also totally down with dried rice and beans. Like I do fuck with 89 cents worth of frijoles. And
come on, you didn't have to say that's frijoles. What it's,
that's the ones I buy though. I don't buy this English ones. The English ones.
Okay.
No, I go to the Mexican part of the store to get them. Because I don't know, man. It is cheap ass food. That's why I also buy 10 pound bags of potatoes for $2.50 and eat those. So I don't know, but brown rice and lentils is ones that you cannot get. Americans' palates is just not set up for lentils.
No, I guess not.
I love them, and everybody else I know hates them, but I love the shit out of them. The way Greek people make them, the way Indian people, African, everybody's so good with lentils, but Americans just don't fuck with it that well.
Yeah. It was actually, that march was like really, that was an inspiring one.
It was so good. It was like Cat Williams joke.
I mean, there were anarchists there.
Like, oh, I know.
There was a black bloc that was actually not all white dudes, actually.
You know what Brian did when I was there? I'm wearing a sweater. I got this new nice, cashmere sweater that was a hand-me-down. And it was kind of cold out there, so I'm wearing it. And Brian is elbowing me in the ribs, and he says, hey, man, don't you think you – can you believe that you'd be here? Did you think you'd be standing around in a sweater looking like you're trying to organize some high school kids? Wouldn't you rather be in the black block with those POCs?
Yeah. You didn't go – I like that you dress nice when you go to them. But there's like two sides of it. Like you'll dress nice when you go to them, but there's also the side of I like people who are like, I ain't going to fucking dress for the man.
You know what I mean? I also just, some of my clothes are, I mean, I just, I like to dress nice sometimes because I'm somebody that, I work out of my home and my wife works out of my home, so we rarely leave. And like, I really sometimes just want to put on like a pair of khakis to feel like I'm an adult that, like, you know, does adult things and earns income and, like, you know, it's nice to feel like you're not just hanging out in the fucking flannel that I've been wearing for six days. You know what I mean? But I also, I mean, I do. I wish I guess at this point, I'm not where I'm wearing the bandana and smashing the windows. I would love to if I could get that together. But if I was just going out there, I mean, we're doing a parade.
Yeah, no, it was
really
sweet.
It was a good combo. I really liked my button up. Sweater combo. It
You're
was
good.
Like
you was
perfect
like
weight.
You were like, I'm gonna parade myself also and look beautiful for these people when we're walking. You know,
exactly.
Everything. Yeah. We also Friday went to was it the Henry Green indictment?
Yeah, it was awful.
Just want to talk about that for just a second because I had a. Why don't you tell them what we went to?
Okay, so in Columbus last year, Henry Green was shot in the afternoon, 6:07 p.m. I think was the time. Cops drove by, said they saw him with a gun, chased him down, and shot him. And this week the grand jury was meeting to deliberate on whether or not they were going to indict these police officers, plainclothes cops that did this. So People's Justice Project, set up a rally out front, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday because that's when the announcement was happening. So we were out there and actually heard his mom come out of the courtroom and tell everybody that the cops were not going to be indicted. And it was a really intense situation. It was really, it was sad. I cried.
Right.
I ended up crying.
I did not, but that's because I don't do that, you know, but. Brett, I
was
real
moved.
Shit.
It was horrible. It was crazy to see everybody, like the wash, everybody's face, just like the horror of it just washed over everybody. And it was like really, really sad to be around.
Yeah. And I had a conversation with somebody a couple days after that about, you know, they were kind of telling me that there's nothing you can really do by going out in the streets like that. Like, they're never going to change their minds, and all you can do is like live your best life, which is this individualist bullshit about, like, as long as you do it, as long as you're good and you don't, you're the ultimate good, then that's all you can really do in the world. And I just stood by this mom that was screaming for her kid, and it was just one of those moments that's like, if you're not getting out, if you're not able to get out, or if you're just, I mean, really, like me, who like just doesn't show up to things because, as shitty as it sounds, like, I don't prioritize them because, like, I should, you know what I mean? I will do other things to not, you know, I'll like drive for Lyft instead of going to a rally.
Well, you have schedule. Yeah, I mean, you have a schedule. I mean, we do the show each week, and we usually don't. Unless it's would be a big deal, we usually don't take the show off to go do protests. And you have to make money. I mean, the days you have to make money are the days you have to make money.
Well, but there's even days where I'm not even necessarily doing that. And I'm just like, I'm spending the day with my family.
Right.
You know, but Friday, for some reason, you text me, actually. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll remember. I'm going to go to this thing. Okay. And I went to it, and leaving it like re-energized me a little bit because, like, I just was like, man, if we need to be there for these things because, like, nobody else is showing up.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even understand that, like, when they can get 60 people together, which is inspiring that there's 60 people willing to leave their house. But I know there are people listening to this show that are completely and fully willing to leave their house and just, like, something happens in their mind on the day that it's supposed to happen, and they just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not even, I'm not saying it's a negative thing. I'm not saying that you're like, oh, this is, you know, oh, bullshit, you know, or plenty of people will go. And I just want to say that, like, people, even now, just this close after the election, are stopping showing up to things. Like, there's just a lot less people at the actions. I don't even think it's fatigue. It's the whole I'm past it now. Like, now we did the protest right after the election, and now we're doing what I watch WrestleMania. You know what I mean? That's just me. But that's my thing. It's like all that time I spent watching wrestling during fucking protest marches, I should have probably been at the march, but for some reason I prioritized that. You know?
Yeah, I think some are bigger than others. I mean, the People's Justice Project doesn't ask very much of people. We went to their last one too, you know, and that was just like a month ago. So once a month is pretty easy to do. And I think we have to make a better showing at Black Lives Matter. It's really bad. It's really embarrassing that, you know, I know it's nice to go to the anti-Trump rallies and stuff, but if you're going to do that, I mean, part of being anti-Trump is being for Black Lives Matter, you know, and their groups. And there is a lot. The thing about it is that they aren't like a new group. In our area, you know, there's already established groups for this stuff. And we need to be strengthening our bonds with those people and those communities, because we got to get in for the long haul. You know, if you're looking for that one weird trick that'll get rid of the presidency, I mean, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have to just stay on our grind. And, we went to the CIW one on Sunday, and it actually rained like hell. And I had Charlotte out there. This is one of the first ones that Charlotte and Erica came out to. And it rained like hell, and I just couldn't have her out there because it was just too much. Crying, screaming kid, getting soaking wet. And so I actually ended up dipping out. And you know what? It's cool to dip out if you have to, you know? Like, sometimes that's how it goes. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be like a perfect scenario. But when you find out it's going to happen, if you only got an hour to give, go for an hour and leave, you know? Like, come late, you know? Some people are, I see a lot of people that are like, oh man, I wish I could be there. And it's like, well, we're still out here.
Yeah.
Like, the when we went to the police headquarters, they were out there for 2 hours or more. You know, they had speakers and everything, and it's like you don't have to be there on time exactly.
No, they don't really expect everybody to just show up on time,
right?
Like, even when we do live shows, and we don't expect anybody to show up on time. We always start late, and it's not because we're not ready; it's because usually, well, let's get a few more people in here. People are late to everything. They understand at protest marches more than anything. There's like, I'm late to everything. Brett's late to everything. Leftists are flaky, man. That's just what happens. That's why it's so hard to put the movement together.
I don't know. My schedule is actually really getting together in a great way. I'm doing a lot of stuff, and I don't feel too overwhelmed. I haven't melted down yet.
You're not running any of those things. You're running this.
But no, but I mean, that's what's nice though, is I'm like, so on Sunday, I'm going to go bowling and raising money for the Ohio Abortion Fund, the Women's Have Option Ohio Abortion Fund. And, then next Saturday, I'm doing Meals on Wheels for the first time, which will be fun as hell.
Yeah.
So I do have things rolling now.
That's cool.
And I feel better for it. Like I've been saying.
Yeah, you're doing a job that you don't get paid for.
Yeah.
But you're going to work. You know what I mean?
That's tough to get over. You have to swallow that. My wife today, she said, I just wish you got paid for what you do. And I was like, oh, that really stings so bad. And she was like, well, no, I meant like what you do is so valuable that you deserve more. And I'm like, I know, but all I'm thinking about now is how there's no fucking money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't make any money.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with you, man. I know.
But I don't mind it. I don't mind. I am way grateful for what I get to do. It's way better than all the other shit I did.
Oh yeah. All right, man. We did it, dude.
We did. That's a podcast. That's how you do them, folks. Thank you for listening. Please come back. We're going to give you everything we do, our audio for free, through these channels, SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever it is, Stitcher Radio. We have live videos that come out every single month. We also have a zine that comes out every single month. If you want to support us and get rewarded for it, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. You can sign up to get access to all of our live videos. You can sign up to get access to our zine. So the first month was Small Business Tyrants. The drug zine was last month. If you sign up before the 31st, you will get the wrestling zine for that month. A little side note here just to explain the Street Fight policy. The rules are the reward will get sent to you someday in the month that you were charged. So everybody that got charged on March 1st, you haven't got your rewards yet. There's been a lot of money issues with going out of town twice, and I had to get a lot of shit together. So we are doing an assembly line, a big family get-together, and a hootenanny this Friday, the 31st, from 5 to 9. The family's getting together. We are going to pack up all of the zines. We're going to pack up all of the Kratom, and we're going to make sure it gets mailed to you. So expect that in the first week of April, and that will probably be our schedule moving forward. It works for me. Thank you for everybody that continues to do this. I can just say thank you a million times over, but keep coming back. Keep tell somebody, you know,
keep coming back. Keep, that's what you say at the end
coming
of
back.
AA.
Oh, really? Keep coming back. Yeah. I know it's miserable out there and you want to use, and you want to go sober. You want to go straight. But keep coming back and stay a damn dirtbag. We'll see you next week. Peace.